walked into the front, and the man glanced up at him through the glass, smiled broadly, waved, then left. Moments later, a beat-up, older blue Chevy pickup drove out of the public parking area. Mike memorized the license and this time did not dismiss it. He learned from his mistakes. King whined. His nose was working, but the dog didn't alert. King looked up at him, ears going what Mike thought of as airplane ears, those ears rotating and folding sideways, not back, not pricked stiffly forward in a hard alert. The dog sat, looked at the box again, canted his head, then looked back up at Mike, whined again, eyes locking on his, ears still airplaned. It was a tell, a specific kind of tell. The dog wasn't giving a positive, but he also wasn't giving a negative. King was asking a question. Mike studied the box through the heavy glass of the double doors. It had a FedEx label, but there was nothing on the visible surfaces to indicate it had been processed. It didn't have any wear marks from travel, no scuffs, no black marks where somebody had ticked it with a marker. They always have something. Looked down at King again. Again, the dog whined. We've got to check this out, big guy. King's eyes met his, then went back to the box, the nose now working like crazy. His pal was trying to catch a scent, but wasn't succeeding. Mike grabbed the door and it rattled, locked. That was the sound he'd heard. The door shouldn't be locked, not till... Rankin's gone, he realized. That's why. Turned. Knew it was probably stupid, but did it anyway. Yelled, clear the building. Use rear exits only. As he ran for the closest back way out, intent on making it around the front to check out the package, King right with him. Footsteps behind, scrambling footsteps. What the? Hank bolted for the door as soon as the command sounded. His new chief's command. It was one of those brook no argument kind of bellows. Hank took mental note, even as he ran out the back, his eye catching his chief with his dog making a dash around the corner of the building. Where's he going? Then something went bang, a pulse of pressure blasting out the still open door behind him. Mike made it outside and headed for the front, got just around the building's southeast back corner when he heard it. So did King. They both dropped to the pavement, Mike straddling and wrapping his arms around the dog as he crouched over him to bury his face against King's. Heard King whine, heard the clatter of steel, glass, and pieces of what had to be the cinder block that comprised the building hit pavement, hit him, rained down around him. Hoped everybody had made it out. The rain of dust and mortar chips. Finally, silence. A touch on his shoulder. Someone squatting down beside him. Midnight? Snappy's voice. He opened his eyes. Snappy, you okay? Yeah. Heard his own voice sounding breathless. Realized his left knee hurt. Got off it, got to a crouch, and let King up, a pebble he'd been kneeling on coming along for the ride on his jeans. Brushed it off, then, on a whim, picked it up and pocketed it. Saw his dog shaking. Put a hand on him. Asked, did everybody get out? Not wanting to know they hadn't. Caught Snappy's eyes. Admitted, I didn't know it was a bomb. King suspected something, but it wasn't a clear signal. I thought I was just... Stopped. Said it. I thought it was just me being jittery. Tried to get his head on straight. King and I were trying to get to the front to check it out. The inner front door was locked. It was a bomb, all right, Snappy said. His voice soft, his eyes strange. Snappy held his hand out, and Mike accepted the help up. His legs were rubber. Yeah, a bomb, Mike said. He couldn't quite get his brain around that fact yet. He okay? Came Power's yell. Yes, sir, Snappy called back. Sirens sounded in the distance, a lot of them. Fires on the way.